Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, yes, a good Wednesday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose. As we say, happy hump day.
Oh!
Coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way, AB with your updates as we take you for the next 3 hours, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. 206 on Sirius, 206 on XM, Sirius XM app 206 as well. Same bat channel, same bat place, all three spots. Taz and the Moose on Twitter and Instagram at official Taz1Z at Mark Malusis with a C. Good morning, Taz. How you doing, bro?
Oh, I'm outstanding, Moose. Happy hump day, pal.
Yes, happy hump day, man. Happy hump day. Middle of the work week. Here we go. All downhill from here. That's exactly right.
Before we get going talking sports, I got to tell you, hopefully this show goes okay for me physically.
Right.
I had to visit a different breakfast establishment, not my normal
routine. Yeah, the mom and pop shop downstairs.
Clark Jones. Yeah,
it's fantastic.
And, yeah, I know you love it. You've praised it for a long time, and you've eaten it for a lot of years. And
yes.
I've had a little issue with it in the past. And my regular spot, Starbucks, great brand, was not open for some reason.
Right, it was not open as of yet.
There was an incident.
Right.
So I had to get
a little delayed openings.
Usually I get oatmeal there. And and now I had to go to your spot. And
you got yourself an egg sandwich. Good. You'll be good to go.
I hope around the second segment or third, it's not a blowout at Yucca Flats, but I digress.
Well, I gotcha. Well, I'm sure your stomach will be A-okay.
I hope so, buddy.
It doesn't appear that you eat completely healthy all the time.
Well, no, so. I usually do. I'm on a lifestyle diet, as you know.
You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Yeah, but I was hungry.
I understand.
I'm
don't
a big
worry.
Boy,
you'll be A-okay.
All right.
Got
to talk sports, though.
I'm confident that you'll be all right.
We have to talk sports, Moose.
Yeah, I feel bad. That's a great spot. Mom,
it is.
Dad, son, run it, and you like to take shots at it whenever.
No,
you can.
I don't.
You do.
Listen, I
about
told you
about that. It's uncleanly.
Just real quick. No, it's a little.
Boomer and Geo, their morning show, eats at it constantly.
They eat there too.
Yes, they
eat
there too.
I thought they were eating at the Ritz.
No,
those guys,
they
high rent
there.
Shit, those guys.
Overnight show coming off.
Hold on
locally,
a second. Boomer Esiason is eating there.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not
no
saying
way.
Exactly Boomer, but others have. I'm sure Giannotti has.
Oh, I'm sure. He's,
I'm sure Jericho has. Bob Dwyer.
Yeah, those guys are. Bob Dwyer.
Yeah, they have.
How about John Sterling? John Sterling?
I have no idea. No,
I bet
probably
you John
not.
Sterling has.
Probably
no?
not John Sterling.
You don't think John Sterling
no.
has?
So you'll be A-okay.
You think so?
Yes. It's a mom and pop place.
Yeah.
A little food cart. It's all good.
It tastes good.
It'll be all good.
But you'll get a little rumblings.
Well, sometimes you should have brought your PB&J sandwich.
I know. I forgot it today. But how about those Celtics?
Well, that's exactly right. We'll get into the Boston Celtics as they have a 107-94 victory last night over the Cleveland Cavaliers, trailed by as many as 11 in the second in the first half, outscored the Cavaliers 36-22 in the third quarter, outscored them by 20 in the second half as the Cavs looked like they fired their best shot in half number one. And in the second half, it was pretty much all Boston Celtics as they come steamrolling back and played with emotion, played with energy, played with a little bit of a chippiness on their shoulder, and come away with the healthy 13-point victory to now have a commanding 2-0 lead as the series heads back to Cleveland.
And look, LeBron, he played really well. I mean, he did. He played really well. 42 points. I mean, what more do you need the guy to do? Let's be honest, man. The supporting cast wasn't so supporting. The other Cavaliers basically stunk up the joint. They just didn't play great, in my opinion. Some physicality in the game, which I liked. But I'll tell you what, who would have thunk it, Moose? Who would have thunk it?
Well, I think after game one, we all picked Boston yesterday.
Well, hold on. You don't know there was a little turn of events you don't know about.
What's
Can I interrupt you, sir?
What's that?
Okay, well,
oh, no, Biseglia.
Yeah, he texted
me.
He's a double dipper. He didn't even tell me he texted you also.
Right, he did.
He turned. He went with the Cavs.
He did right before game time, right.
So you and I were right, they were wrong.
Yes. Well, I mean, for show purposes, he picked it correctly. So if you made your bet yesterday morning after listening to the show and you didn't get the personal text by Mike Biseglia, you were a victor because he liked the Boston Celtics as well.
How about Pete the Body? He picked the...
No, he picked the Cavaliers, so he's a loser. So, I mean, that's...
He's a bum.
Right. He comes across with the big fat L after last night's victory by the Boston Celtics. But a couple of things. Number one is the idea of the Boston Celtics, and you heard Ty Lue, and let's play the cut for you. Here's Ty Lue, the Cavaliers coach, after the game.
We got to be tougher. You know, I think they're playing tougher than we are. We see that. They're being physical. They're gooning the game up, and we got to do the same thing. So we got to be tougher mentally and physically.
Here's the problem I have with that comment, right? The idea of gooning the game up in today's day and age, in 2018, it's much different than it was in 1990 when guys would actually be bloodied,
dropping each other
when they were going to the when they were going to hit a layup, right? So the idea that that the Boston Celtics are gooning the game up, no, they're playing physical. They're playing with the chippiness on their shoulder. And I think that Lue is sending the message to his team that they're maybe a little bit soft, and that's all well and good, and I'm sure it's a message as well, as you've seen coaches do for the referees and the officiating for Game 3 back in Cleveland, so that hopefully the Cavaliers get a favorable whistle in Game 3. All well and good. But if you want to look back at it last night, what was the dirtiest play of the game? The dirtiest play of the game was when J.R. Smith pushed Al Horford in the back when he was attempting a dunk. I mean, there's nothing that the Boston Celtics did last night that was anywhere close to what J.R. Smith did to Al Horford, which was a cheap and dirty play where you have a complete lack of respect for your opponent in doing that. That's a play that gets somebody hurt.
Yeah, that's not playing with an edge. That's playing stupid, and that's playing dirty. And it ticked off Smart. It was a Smart, right? Yeah, Marcus Smart went to his defense, I believe. And you know what's funny? It was interesting to me. It was nice to see him come to defense for Horford, for his teammate. But none, if you watch it back, none of the other Celtics really came to the middle of this little scurry, this little fight, argument. It was all Cavaliers, except for Rozier, who was kind of stuck in the middle of it. And I was surprised at that more Celtics didn't get in that pull apart, in that little physicality thing. It was mostly all Celtics. But, yeah, you're right. It was a J.R. Smith. It was definitely a dirty push, dirty play. And the guy, Horford, he's defenseless. He's in midair. And you give him a little shove like that, that's a good way to hurt a guy real bad.
Well, right, that is. And Smart had himself a great game. I mean, in 31 minutes, he played 11 points, the 9 rebounds, the 5 rebounds, 9 assists. He had 4 steals. He filled up the old proverbial box score for the Boston Celtics as all 5 starters scored in double figures. Morris with 12, Horford with 15, Tatum with 11, Rozier with 18, and Jaylen Brown leading the way. The talented former Cal Bear with 23 points for Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics. And, yes, they're a much different team at home as compared to on the road. I get that, understand it, and we've seen it throughout the course of the postseason. But Boston did exactly what they needed to do in these first two games. And if the Cleveland Cavaliers don't react all that well to the physicality of the Boston Celtics, what do you do if you're Brad Stevens? You continue it up. I mean, that's really what it comes down to it. And they survived a game in which LeBron James went out there and scored 21 points in the opening quarter, scored 42 for the game. We talked about it yesterday. Kevin Love, I said I thought he needed, 35 or 30-plus points yesterday. He gave you 22. Certainly the game would have been maybe in a point where the Cavaliers could have stole it if you got, 8, 9, 10 more points from Kevin Love last night. You didn't get it. And to play the issue that the Cavs have had throughout the course of the postseason here is the complimentary players around LeBron James, more often than not, have not followed suit. I mean, that's really what it's come down to, where it's been LeBron's show and everybody else. I mean, at times you've gotten it from Love. You haven't gotten it from George Hill. You haven't gotten it from Osman. You haven't gotten it necessarily from Green.
Corver's playing good, though.
You look at Corver. He played well last night, but he has not
threes.
He had a couple of threes. He scored 11 points. I mean, you're going to need more from Kyle Korver. 11 points off the bench from Kyle Korver is fine if J.R. Smith is giving you something.
He
gave you 0 points in 27 minutes. That's was 0 for 7 from the floor.
That's crazy. And then at the end, he cheap shots a guy. Yeah, so good day.
Right.
Tattoo Neck Jones. Yeah, now look, man. I'm wondering, if you're the Cavaliers, like, you got to think to yourself, if you're a Cavs fan, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? I mean, our top guy, the best player in the world, played really good last night. And to your point, Moose, he was on fire in that first half for sure. And then he got dinged up. LeBron got a little dinged up. He took a little shot. I think it was by Tatum, a little shot on the jaw, which can concuss you. So some people wonder, was he concussed? Does he have a slight concussion? Who knows? If you're not in the locker room, if you're not looking at the way they're checking LeBron out, who knows if he's concussed? And he came back out on the court and played before the half end, I believe. It didn't seem like he did. He wasn't playing as well as he played in the early goings of the game, for sure. But who knows? He definitely got dinged up. They sent the message. The Celtics played with an edge, for sure. And now what? Now what? So now if you're the Celtics, you're like, okay, we got confidence now. We're cooking on all cylinders, Moose.
Well, they are.
Right? You got confidence.
Well, they should. Yeah. And right now, and here's their head coach, Brad Stevens, talking about the victory.
The one thing, even during our early winning streak this year, we weren't that good, but we were finding ways to win. And a lot of times we were coming back from down and everything else, and just got a tough, resilient group of guys, and we're going to have to be even tougher and more resilient as we head to Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, they are. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, and here's a cut from Kevin Love talking about the fact of the Cavs, even though they're down 2-0, well, they're heading back to the land.
I think we can definitely learn from them, and we have guys that are very capable too, so we just need them to be themselves. But I think, like Bron said, just getting back home and digesting what we need to do over these next few days will be big for those guys. And, going back home in general and playing at the Key will be huge.
Listen, here's the problem for the Cavaliers, though, Taz, overall. It's something that you and I, we've hammered home here since game one. And really, before the start of the Eastern Conference Finals, when we chatted about this before game one on Sunday afternoon on Mother's Day up in Beantown, is the Boston Celtics are a more talented team. Right. Outside of LeBron James. So, I mean, to play the point that Kevin Love just made, and it's a fair one where he said, well, we'll go back home. We have guys that are capable. Yes, they have guys that are capable on any given night. Now, are those guys capable of giving it to you for the next five games? That's the problem the Cavs have now, being down 2-0. To think about the Cavs getting to the NBA Finals, they have to be better and more consistent than the Boston Celtics in four of the next five games, right? And they're going to have to, at some point in time, win a game on the road up in Beantown. I have a hard time envisioning, even with the brilliance of LeBron James, them being that consistent for the next five games. I'll give it to you. I think they'll win game three. I think this will be a 2-1 series going into game four right in Cleveland. However, I don't see, whether it be Thompson, Love, Hill, Smith, Nance Jr., Green, I mean, throw in the, Hood, Korver. I don't see that group of guys being consistent enough in four of the next five games to see the Cavaliers marching on to the NBA Finals. I have a hard time envisioning that.
I agree with you. To me, it jumps out pretty simple. When you watch the Celtics play, they play as a cohesive unit. They play as a team. True team. They work together. They gel together. The chemistry's there. The anticipation of who's going to pass the ball where, it's all there. Not a plethora of mistakes. When you watch the Cavs play, it's about LeBron. It's all the players on the team are about either feeding LeBron, or obviously the ball goes through LeBron. We get that. But it's about him. There's really no cohesiveness. There's no teamwork with them. And it sounds corny, to me, that's the glaring difference. The Celtics play a team style, and they also, Moose, in my view, the Celtics are not in awe of LeBron. They respect him, but they want to defeat him. And I think you could that resonates for me off of my gigantic TV set I have at home, 85 inches, but
well,
I digress.
I mean, I think to play the point that we talked about with the Raptors-Cavs series, where I thought the Toronto Raptors, we both did, were in awe of LeBron James,
yes,
right?
Yeah, and you said that. I remember that. Yeah,
and I don't get that sense, to play to your point, from the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, man.
There is no fear. They have a healthy respect to what LeBron James is.
Yes.
They're not disrespectful.
Yes,
they understand what he is as a player, what he's meant to the NBA, how great of a player he is all time. That's all well and good. But The point being is that the Boston Celtics go into every single game against the Cavaliers believing that they can beat them.
Yes.
Believing that they could win the game.
Wanting to beat them.
Right, fair. Right. And they survived a game last night in which LeBron scored 42 points, 21 in the opening quarter, where they trailed by 11 in the first half and won the game by 13. I mean, so that is the, and you got the, and coming out of the game, you have the Cavs and their head coach complaining about the physicality of the Boston Celtics. I mean, when you think about cooking with gas and everything firing on all cylinders right now for the Boston Celtics, Taz, the starters are playing well. Horford's playing great. You look at the guard play with Rozier, Brown, and Marcus Smart in terms of the three-guard rotation for the Boston Celtics. They've been fantastic. Smart's one of those gritty, dirty players.
Yeah.
Not dirty in a good way, right?
Yep.
As I think it was Jason Tatum. No, it was Jaylen Brown after the game last night. We don't have the cut, but he said it to – I read it in a Boston Globe – I read up in one of the Boston papers – said that Marcus Smart, one of those players who was born with his hands dirty.
And what
that line means is that he's willing to do anything he can to try and help your team win.
Yeah.
Not that he's a dirty player,
right.
But he's willing to dive on the floor.
Right.
He's willing to get into a scrum. You mentioned it. He came to the defense of Horford after he got pushed in the back, and he came to his defense quick.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah, he can't shoot. He's not a great offensive player, but he does all the little things to help you win, and that's really what Boston's doing right now. And they are a better team. I mean, this is what the message after two games here. The Boston Celtics are a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They are. They flat out are. Now, can he get it done in Cleveland? We shall see. But I like what you said about Smart, for sure. You said, what was the quote? He was born with his hands dirty?
Born with his hands dirty.
Rumor has it Mikey B was born with his feet dirty.
There you go.
That's what I heard. I'm just telling you.
Rumors are true.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Are the Cavaliers cooked? We want to hear from you at 855-212-4227. Plus the NBA draft lottery.
Oh, God.
We'll hear from LeBron James as well as Taz and the Moose roll right along on a big Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That is your number to call. It is Taz and the Moose with you. We'll get to the NBA draft lottery disaster that was last night. Here momentarily. AB is in the house. First time this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Boys, good morning. Your report is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The Cavaliers wanted to win just once in Boston. They built an 11-point lead in the second quarter of Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night, and then were outscored 71-47 the rest of the way.
Thompson punches the rebound in the air, but it ends up in the hands of Rozier. He's going to beat LeBron James down the floor and slam it hard with the right hand.
Go for that one, Mr. James. Get some of that.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, Celtics radio, Terry Rozier scored 18, 23 from Jaylen Brown, and their Celtics won 107-94. Their franchise is 37-0 when taking a 2-0 lead in a series. LeBron and the Cavaliers, meanwhile, have 3 full days to figure things out.
I'll recalibrate as far as how I can help this team continue to be successful, how I can do some things to make us be even more complete.
LeBron put up 42 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists last night. Kevin Love threw in 22 and 15 boards. But J.R. Smith did not score. George Hill had just 3 points. The Rockets and Warriors back on the floor this evening in Houston. Those Rockets trying to avoid an 0-2 hole. The Suns will pick first for the first time in franchise history after winning last night's draft lottery. They had the best chance at number one. The Grizzlies were supposed to be next, but fell to fourth. The Kings have the 2 pick instead. Then the Hawks, with the Mavs rounding out the top five. And the Bucks head coaching search is reportedly down to former Hawks head coach Mike Budenholzer and Spurs assistant Ettore Messina. Both met with ownership yesterday. Budenholzer is still talking to the Raptors as well. Playoff hockey, the Lightning bouncing back with a 4-2 win in Washington after losing the first 2 games of the East Final on home ice. Outfielder Steven Piscotty returned to the A's last night following the death of his mother. He homered in his first at-bat.
It's been an emotional week, and been a little crowded out, so didn't tear up or anything, but
yeah, just felt real good knowing family was watching, knowing my mom was watching. So, yeah, just pure joy.
The second inning long ball gave Oakland a 3-0 lead. They won at Fenway 5-3. Same final, the Astros over the Angels in Anaheim. The Twins beat the Cardinals 4-1, and the Mariners outlasted the Rangers 9-8 in 11 hours after Robinson Cano gave up his appeal of an 80-game PED suspension. Cano will spend the first month of that ban recovering from a broken hand. The Cubs stole a 3-2 win in Atlanta. Arizona snapped a 6-game skid, 2-1 over Milwaukee, and the Mets roughed up the Blue Jays 12-2. Toronto has lost all 12 games in Queens. And the Tennessee Titans yesterday signed their first round pick.
We should play the Blue Jays every day.
I mean, we also could just let them win a game since they did gift us Noah Syndergaard. I do, yes.
He did the we. Yeah.
Well, you did it first. So.
Well, because I'm a former athlete.
That's true.
No, you can't.
That.
You don't play for the Mets.
I know, but I.
You could. He could have.
Don't say we.
He could have.
Well, I got to be honest with you, though, Moose. I know you might give a little pushback, but I don't care. But I agree with the we thing. I've done that actually on the Taz show with people. I don't like the we thing. I'm with you on that. But yes, I've never played for the Mets, the New York Mets, but I can tell you I'm the only one in this studio and in that control room, probably in that newsroom,
yeah,
that has been in a clubhouse, hit BP, and thrown a first pitch out at a place called Shea Stadium.
I've been in their clubhouse.
Custom jerseys.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just don't say we.
Well, I'm closer to being a New York Met than you are. Have you ever thrown out a first pitch?
No,
Have you ever done BP?
No, but it doesn't matter.
Have you given three custom jerseys that said Taz Mission on the back? Number 13?
It does not matter.
I'll bring them in. I'll show you. Touch
them. I'm sure you have them. You can ask Bilotti.
I touch you too.
You can touch it too.
You can throw them into a room for Bilotti. Give him 20 minutes. Please. He'll be done with them. Anyway, the fact is that you're not a professional player. You're not a baseball player.
I'm not a baseball player. I'm not.
Don't say we.
I'm not.
Don't say we.
I said we as our team, but I agree with you on the we thing.
Don't
I do,
we.
But I'm closer to being a New York Met than you're being a New York Yankee. I can tell you that right now.
That's fine.
But
you're not close at all.
But I'm closer than you.
It's highly debatable.
I threw out a first pitch at Shea Stadium. My name was on the board, bro.
I mean, honestly, in terms of being close to being a professional baseball player.
Who cares? I don't know. 70,000 people that were chanting my name at Shea.
No baseball stadium is 70,000 people.
There were that day.
That day, they brought extra bleachers in. They knew I was going to be there.
No 70,000.
They knew I was going to be there, Moose. Play along, Moose. Play along.
No. Don't.
Play along. They brought bleachers in.
I am playing along.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
First pitch, BP, starring Mike Piazza caught the ball.
Fantastic. Yeah, great.
Todd Pratt catching great. That day?
Todd Pratt was gonna, then Piazza fantastic. Heard the pop that I got. And they subbed. I'm not kidding. He came
Taz
out.
Is here?
And Pratt, that's what he does. Piazza waits to see what kind of reaction someone gets. And then, all right, Todd, get out. I'm in. I'll catch for this guy.
This
He's
man
over
could
enough.
Kill a lion. This guy's I'm catching
over,
his first pitch.
When it comes, that's fantastic. Great experience. Fantastic.
Thank you, Moose.
Thanks
You're
for
so
walking
supportive.
Down memory lane. Just don't say we.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, anyway, we should play the Blue Jays. The Mets should play the Blue Jays.
Thank you.
Every freaking
thank you.
Week and day.
Yeah,
because they
you.
Stink.
Well, the Mets have owned the Blue Jays at Citi Field in Queens.
Yeah.
I'm done.
You are done.
I'm done.
Yes. Don't say we. You're not a Met. Neither is Taz,
believe
nor
me.
Is Bilotti.
Yes.
AB, I could trust you. You have to leave. I know that because, Moose can say you have to leave. If he could, Moose would want me to leave with you. I promise you that.
No, okay. I would not.
Yes, you don't want me.
No,
just me.
That's not true.
I am a proud former pitcher for the Mets, kind of. Maybe. Not really. But I got it.
To draw the comparison to you, so I was basically, when I was producing, I was right there with the Yankees World Series trophy. So I can claim myself to be a world champion. If we're going to go connect the dots, and you threw out the first pitch,
I actually am a world champion.
I was invited. I was invited. No, that's not true.
You never wore the jersey. They made me two jerseys, bro.
It does not matter.
Yes, it does. No, my name is on the jersey with my number. Taz, what number do you want?
The promotion department made the name.
No,
they cracked out the iron and put it on there.
It's tackle twill. You don't even know what tackle twill. What's tackle twill?
I don't care.
It's right. I'm trying to teach you. It's the sewing. Stitching. It's right.
It's the stitching. It's stitching. I understand.
And who
I
makes the Mets dots. Jerseys? A place called Stitches in Queens.
Fantastic.
And that's a fact.
That's great.
I'm trying to educate the audience.
Your knowledge of jerseys and uniform colors is just unbelievable.
Thank you, sir.
It really is. It's off the charts.
Well, I am attention to detail.
It's athletic like orange.
It's Rain Man-esh.
Rain Man-esh. That's...
Esque.
I guess it's never been referred. I guess that's a good way to put it.
You're like Rain Man when it comes to jersey colors and to tackle twill.
The Adobe color chart. I'm obsessed with it.
I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah,
it really is. It is kind of Rain Man-ish, though. You're right. It's so disturbing. I agree.
But the idea that you're close to being a Met because you threw out the first pitch
right,
and that
BP
they made you
too.
A jersey?
Twice. You stood next to a trophy. As a reporter.
I brought up the idea. No, not as a reporter. I was an invited guest.
Oh.
That's not true.
That's true. Number two
Let me see the Evite.
There was no Evite, EB. AB, get the hell out of the room.
Tab, let's go.
Honestly, go do your thing. Anyway, the fact is that Evite. The idea that I am bringing it up because your point is makes no sense. That's the point.
All right, it was for the Grand bit. Salami Jones.
Yeah.
It was for the bit, you know what I mean? I'm not a New York Met. I'm not a professional baseball player. I never have been, you're right. I've never even been a college baseball player.
Yeah.
I never played for the minor league system. But I did throw out a pitch for the Trenton Thunder. You know them.
Fantastic.
They actually have a
That's
cool
great.
Organization. They actually,
yeah.
I was there. That was a long time ago. But they nice people there, the Trenton Thunder.
Yeah.
Might be a whole new front office now, but those people over there are real nice. But who cares, right?
No, that's great.
Yeah, that's
I'm awesome. Happy for you. That's awesome. Great memory.
I know. It's great memory.
What, is it not?
Not really. It was just an appearance.
You said he had a great time, a great organization. That's fantastic. That's a great memory. That's a good time. Going out, throwing out the first pitch at Citi Field.
That's a great memory.
Great memory.
It was Shea Stadium, by the way.
Having the tackle twill, a great memory at Shea Stadium.
I love Shea Stadium.
Fantastic.
I miss Shea Stadium. I do. I miss Shea Stadium. I do. Tell me what I don't miss is that freaking dang... lottery BS NBA thing I watched last night. I want my hour back. It sucked. God, it was god awful.
Yeah, well,
horrible.
What was your biggest issue with the lottery last night?
That it was on TV. That was my biggest issue.
Besides that, you knew it was going to be on TV.
Bro, it was bad.
But what was the biggest issue you had?
There's a plethora. I mean, when you've done TV, you still do TV. I've done TV. When you do TV, there's certain little logistic connections from segment to segment, from shot to shot, the production end, the connectivity between the announced talents, the girl,
Cassidy Hubbard.
I was close. Her on the floor, the guys in the booth. There was a disconnect there, the flat crowd. There was no like real production feel. No, it didn't feel like a show. It looked like they have all the people representing their teams. It looked like a telethon. I'm waiting for phones to ring. It looked like, where's Jerry Lewis? That's what it looked like. They're sitting there. You know what I mean? It's like a telethon.
Now, the technical issues, you look at it. I mean, the lottery, the setup was pretty much...
boring.
Well, but it's the same... I guess if you put aside the disconnect between the talent on the air,
right?
In essence of what the show is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know... It came across as the same way it pretty much does every year.
And it sucks every year.
Right. I get it. But what in essence, we're watching an hour-long production of them announcing the lottery results for the upcoming June NBA draft.
Right.
I guess my point watching it last night, where I saw the reaction to it on social media, and certainly it was not a well-produced production.
No, it wasn't.
But if you get to the core base of it, what is it? It's boring.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what you would like to have. Would you like the Phoenix Suns gorilla
to
run out?
That would be
when
funny.
They get the number one overall
pick? I'll give
pick?
You an example. I'll be constructive, Moose.
Would you like
I'll give you a production suggestion.
Half-naked women?
No, but what I'm saying is, I'll give you an example. I'll just me spitball.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying.
Oh, it's a rhetorical question.
Right, the rhetorical. What would you like to have happen in terms of
I'll answer the
lottery last night?
Let me make a suggestion.
It's a boring event.
It sucks. The Heisman event on TV sucks and is boring also, but it's supposed to be. That's supposed to be prestigious Jones, the fancy man club, the jacket.
Right, downtown athletic
we
club.
We get it, right? That's supposed to be kind of like boring and all that stuff and cold. a draft show or a lottery show, you think about the NFL draft, it's off the chart. It's phenomenal. I've watched the MLL draft. Most people don't even know what the MLL is, and that's the Pro Lacrosse League. The outdoor, and that's more exciting than the NBA, a lot of things. Here's a suggestion how they can fix it.
Okay, but is it a case where now that you're more into lacrosse than the average person? That's why the MLL draft is that much more exciting?
Oh, the production's better, Moose. It's more exciting. It's
so the production, music playing, it has nothing to do with general interest in the sport.
Correct. Not for me. No, if you watched it, the production of it's better, and there's a lower budget for what they're doing with the MLL draft.
So if somebody never watched lacrosse in their life, flipped on that draft that night, you would think they would be an entertaining product for the non-lacrosse fan.
I don't want to say that it would be riveting to them, but it would be more entertaining, how about that, than that NBA lottery.
All
that's
right.
My point.
Okay.
Okay, but if you don't care about lacrosse, you're going to think, you don't care, right? But, like, for the NBA, like, so, the Phoenix Suns got the first pick. Okay, that's great. Instead of them handing a little logo on a piece of, like, a cardboard that the representation from the team holds up, Atlanta Hawks, and then they hand it to Jamie Gertz. Here you go, part owner, of the gimmick, which I'll get it to her in a second. How about you fly up a beautiful, sleek graphic with an effect on the Tron with some sound effect and a voiceover guy, Atlanta Hawks, get the number, whatever, 6 pick. You know what I'm saying? To get a little production value instead of a card.
All right, but I'll push back on a little bit because we look at the history. You mentioned the Heisman Trophy. This is the way... For now, they've added more production value over the course of the years.
To what?
Right?
The Heisman?
No. The NBA draft lottery. But the idea of the cards revealing the cards has part and parcel with the NBA draft lottery.
And that's part of what needs to change. They could do that via graphic support, my friend.
But
you know that. You've done TV. You still do TV. You know they can do it. You know how to do it.
No, I understand they can do it. But part of the history of the NBA draft lottery is the idea of... the assistant commissioner, right, being up there and basically revealing the cards in the NBA draft order. It was the case of when the Knicks got the number one overall pick when Patrick Ewing was coming out of Georgetown. I mean, the whole idea now, the lottery in essence has changed in terms of how you get to that number one overall pick, but... Some would say, well, you're not paying homage to the history of the NBA if now all of a sudden you're having a big voiceover guy and you're having on the Jumbotron. Here's the release of the logo, and, they have the number 2 overall pick.
You could do the gimmick cards.
Right.
And then go into a transition, as we call it, in the biz, of a graphic on a Tron. Give me something visual, my friend. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so you want something a little bit more visual.
Yes. SNY would have done a 10 times better job than that. That fancy TV job you have, the cushy, posh job you do.
Right. The hard work that I do on television, correct.
I do. You do a great job.
I appreciate that, Taz. Thank you. I can tell that you really mean it. Anyway, number 2 is...
I do mean it.
You look at the very fact of... I still come back to the point is once you find out where your team is picking, once the Knicks fan found out last night, as I'm watching that NBA draft lottery... that they did not move up, that they were sitting there with the 9th overall pick.
Right.
I mean, I got to be realistic here and honest. I don't care.
Who cares, right?
I'm sitting there watching. I'm making myself some dinner last night that, and I see the Knicks have the 9th overall selection. At that point in time, I have to go do a couple other things in the house, get ready for the kids to put the boys to bed. And
separate your sons from tackling each other. Like that. That's one thing you probably
don't do. Bloody noses, bloody lips, everything like that. Right. So, but my point is, okay, I kept it on to see who ends up with the number one overall pick.
I called your house. I thought there was a party.
But
he's like, no, it's just my sons.
Overall interest, yes, that's exactly
I thought it was like a gathering.
The
like,
general overall interest in the draft, though, starts to wane. And I think that probably follows with a lot of NBA fans where you watch it and you're saying, now, could there... have been better communication? Could it be more entertaining?
Horrible.
I think you could probably put maybe some more entertaining personalities doing it than the robots that were doing it last night.
Yeah.
I love Cassidy Hubbard. I think she does a great job with the NBA.
She
knows the game.
She's
a Chicago native.
She does, but she made a mistake.
She's a Chicago native, so that's why she was in Chicago doing it.
That's great. Now, I'm going to tell you this about Cassidy Hubbard's. Okay, here's the problem. She introduces Jamie Gertz, right? Maybe some people remember Jamie Gertz. She was an excellent actress. She's been in a lot of different movies and TV shows. And what happens is she goes, Jamie Gertz, part owner of the Atlanta Hawks, and she just goes, she's an actress. It's like she's this. Jamie Gertz is also from Chicago, like Cassidy. Have you ever heard of Muffy Tepperman? Anybody? Muffy? Muffy, I'll tell you, Muffy is the character that she played in Square Pegs. Square Pegs. Do you remember Square Pegs, Moose?
No.
Huh.
What's Square Pegs?
It was a TV show from 1982 to 1983 or 4 that a lot of people liked. Muffy Tepperman. She played that. She was in a lot. She was in The Facts of Life, Family Ties, The Lost Boys. She's been in a lot of 16 Candles. She acted like, she's an actress. Come on, Cassidy, do your homework, young lady.
What, do you want to run her through with her IMDb database?
No, but make her, put her over, for God's sakes. Hey, she's Jamie already, Gertz.
Wait, hold on a second.
Put her over.
She's already owner. She's already over. She's part owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
I know, but she just said, like, how is actress? She not? She's an actress. Hey, we have Bob. He's a contractor. Hey, Mike, he's a painter.
Well, what? I mean, so now we're getting to the point here now where you're getting at Cassie Hubbard because she didn't have her IMDb database up there for Jamie Gertz.
I want some entertainment, sir. That's all I'm sitting. I invested an hour. I want something back.
So wait a second. So if she mentioned this Square Peg show, what was it called?
Square Pegs.
Square Pegs.
Yeah, she played Muffy Tepperman.
From 1982?
Yeah. Cassidy Hubbard wasn't even born.
So then you would have been more excited about it.
Well, I'm just saying. Tell me that she was in Soul of Babies.
One season.
Tell
Square
me.
Pegs.
Tell Square Pegs. One season. Square. Tell me that one she season. Was in Listen to Me.
You made it sound like she was.
Tell me.
You made it sound like it was like a running thing for like 5-6 years.
Oh.
How do you not know? How long?
Muffy Tepperman.
How many years was Square Pegs on for?
1 year. No, she was in it 1 year. Square Pegs was on for a long time.
Mikey
I don't
B, how long was Square Pegs
on? It was on for quite some time.
I'm just going with this fancy internet search, so I'll have to do a little more research. But it says just one season from 1982 to 1983.
That's when Jamie Gertz was on it.
I see.
The part owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Just click on Square Pegs and tell me how many years. Because
he's struggling, dude. I'll take care of this, and I'll tell you now. No, I understand. Square Pegs was
Click on
one
Square
year.
Pegs.
He's right.
One season. I'm not losing my mind. That's why I'm having trouble because it is 1 year.
I mean, come on. You made it sound like we should all know Square Pegs. It lasted 1 year. How many episodes was in Square Pegs?
3.
There was 20.
There was 20 episodes. So you're getting on Cassidy Hubbard.
Yes.
For when she introduces Jamie Gertz, owner or co-owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Right? That she did not reference a show from 1982 that she starred in named Square Pegs.
And I just remembered, too.
Come on.
Jamie Gertz was also in an episode of Seinfeld. I forgot about
that. Yeah.
She was in Seinfeld, and remember Family Ties, Facts of Life? You were a little younger. You were probably a little tyke running around with your catcher's mask on.
Family Ties, I remember.
Yeah, she was in that. She played Jocelyn Clark. Yeah, so she's done a lot. She's been in different movies. Tell me she was in 7 Girlfriends, and she played the character named
really,
Lisa.
Honestly,
tell me.
You know it. Who cares? I mean, honestly, Square Pegs. I mean,
one of her favorite shows that my favorite movies. Hold on, that she was in is something I can deal with here.
I mean, listen,
so can you, Moose? It's called Dealing with Idiots in 2013. Another movie. She was
listen, I understand that. 855-212-4CBS. I think we all can resonate with it. That all resonates with everyone.
Yeah,
there's
listen.
No doubt about it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Taz, Square Pegs.
Square Pegs. Bro.
What a show.
Square Peg round hole.
What a show.
Dude, you know what? We need to snap on the board up here once in a while, too. Pete the Body, keep him in line.
Oh, by the way, it was a CBS product.
Yeah. Oh, what? Square Pegs. Yes, yes.
You didn't know that.
No, I did. Dude, I watched the show.
You did not.
My wife and I, we still watch Square Pegs all the time.
No, you don't. Stop. Stop. So people are getting on the draft lottery because they were bored by them pulling cards to announce who is selecting where come June in the NBA draft. Like I mentioned before, what did you want? The Phoenix Suns gorilla to come running out? Entertain the crowd? You want a magician?
Egyptian magician. How
about some barnyard animals? Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
Moose, yeah, we're not going to talk anymore about the lottery, right? The NBA lottery?
No.
It brought me down. It brought me down.
Suns 1, Kings 2, Hawks 3, Cavs 8, Knicks 9, 76ers 10. There you go.
Good job, brother. Next! Really, what else? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it was, you know, just like, I'm glad. We gave the order. We did our job.
Well, we gave the draft order. Right.
Moose gave the draft order.
Well, there you go. Right. I mean, the Phoenix Suns have the number one overall pick. Yeah, but, you know, the point I was making last segment was just a case of, I get the, you know, besides having fireworks, mascots, maybe having the Jumbotron, whatever it might be, announcing picks. I don't know exactly what you can do. In essence, it's a boring event.
I just want a graphic. I just want video support.
So if they gave you a graphic, you would have been a happy camper.
I would have been a little happy. With a little sound effect, a VO, and I'm good.
That would have entertained you enough.
A couple of bottle rockets.
Sitting at home.
Roman candles.
Right. Imagine if... Well, how about this? How about when they're announcing the picks, right? Whoever the next team up, they light a Roman candle and they fire it at the representative and see if they can dodge the Roman candle.
That. Shoot it right at the guy's quad.
Right. Like something you used to do like when you were a kid. Light the Roman candle and used to play tag with it.
Oh, yeah,
used to play
tag with the Roman candle. So we don't suggest anyone do this, by the way. We're
never doing it at home, right. But you used to basically do it, right, and shoot it at one another. Maybe they could do that. Imagine Jamie Gertz. I mean, them basically saying the Atlanta Hawks have the number three overall pick. Now Jamie Duck.
No relation to Jamie Duck. Yeah, but yeah, Jamie Gertz, she's kind of a firecracker. Hey, you know what I mean? Yeah, you got her doing like fireworks. You know who could have been involved with the NBA lottery? Would have been, what's his name? Des Bryant. He's out of work. He's looking for a job. He could have hosted it.
Yeah, we're going to get to Des top of the next hour.
We are?
Yes, we are.
Got to give you a little segue there, I guess.
Well, that's exactly
I was a little
right.
jump the gun Jones.
Well, no worries. I mean, because we don't have much time to delve into the Des Bryant Packers scenario here. So we're going to get into it at the top of the
hour. I was talking in there earlier to Mikey B. So he seems like he's in a better mood today than yesterday. Yesterday he seemed like...
I think Mikey B's really, honestly, in a good mood most days.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty even keel with that stuff.
I look at him, and he gets me mad because he looks disappointed in, like, just things. And I want the guy to be happy.
That might be your paranoia.
I have no paranoia. I have no paranoia. Then I promise you that.
Then you're very perceptive.
I have no paranoia. You can all you want, the Moose, but I have no paranoia.
Wait a second.
I'm a very cocky guy.
Hold on a second.
I'm a bit of an ass, let's be honest.
No, we've discussed this before.
We did?
In essence, right, the wrestling game
is wrestler paranoia, that's different. Yeah, wrestling paranoia is a different thing.
Right, in essence, you're a paranoid.
Everybody's trying to get you spot in wrestling.
But no. But you said it's inherent in you now based on your 30 years in the wrestling business.
Well, I don't trust anyone. Well, but that doesn't mean I'm paranoid. No, that if I don't trust you, Taz, that doesn't mean that just means I don't trust you.
Mincing words.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a wordsmith.
Come on.
I was just trying to put Mikey over, saying he's in a good mood today, and then you got to segue to negativity on me.
No. It's not negativity on you in any way, shape, or form.
It's nice to see Mike in a good
something,
mood.
No. Mike's for the most part in a good mood, but we get back to the point of your paranoia a little bit.
You see the Lean Mean video?
A little bit.
You were in it. You could retweet it.
I think I did.
No, you didn't.
Liar. I think I did.
You actually, your voice was in it and your face.
Des Bryant, his future next. Taz of the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.